When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Having a very interesting conversation with my shrink the other day,
I
wanted to share it.
That's quite a way to start. That's quite a transparent way to start the show. Quite a very vulnerable way, I might add.
What do you think?
Yes.
Why?
Well, you're sharing what you've your private chats with the shrink.
I was kind of just wondering. Like, my daughter doesn't have any idea that she's black and I'm white, and I think it's amazing. Like, when do they know that people are different colors? They don't see that. She doesn't see that. There's no concept in her mind of...
Even with a dolly? Like, does she have dollies?
No, dude. She doesn't see it yet. I don't know when they're supposed to see it. And I'm kind of like... I'm dreading the day that she sees us as different. And by the way, maybe she never will. See us as different, you know?
Yeah.
But I was just always afraid there'd be a day when she'd feel like she was raised by a pack of wolves. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I really do feel like I'm worried that there'll be a day when she's like, I was raised by, you know, all of these white people. And it's like, it's so stupid because it's not that hard. Everybody makes a big deal. Oh, you know, white people don't know how to do black hair. It's like, it's not that freaking hard, for goodness sake. I get it, the edges, the kitchen, the product, and so on. And by the way, like, all my black friends, they don't do their own hair. They get their hair done. I'm white. I get my hair done by people.
Right.
Like, we have somebody do her hair. My black friends with black kids have people do their hair. That's how I found Amber, who does Lou's hair. It's not that hard for me to know not to let her get ashy, for God's sake, and how to get her hair done. So, but yet, for some reason, I worry she's going to grow up and, like, you know, I was raised by a pack of wolves, like people that didn't understand me, that didn't know what I guess it's like, it's my own insecurity. And I was just talking to my shrink and I was like, I hope she doesn't resent. There's just so many things. Like, we're such an interesting family, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you've got two moms, my son's, you know, half Latin, and my daughter's Haitian. And it's a complicated household. And so you're just looking at, like, where are they going to hate? Like, where are they going to be so mad at us for, you know, just, I don't know. She doesn't know, like, she doesn't ever see that. She'll see Heidi's C-section scar and she's like, what's that? She asks all the time. Every time she sees it, what's that? And Heidi's like, that's where the baby came out. And she goes, baby Lou? And Heidi just started, yes. And I was like, I don't know if this is good, sweetie. Like, she thinks Heidi, you know what I mean? Like, one of us had her. And she doesn't, like, it's like everything before she was adopted is gone. And, like, it, do you know what I mean? I don't know, dude. It's just, anyway. So I was just sort of talking about my concern of you know, her growing up without a black parent and feeling, I don't know, mad about it or something. And just always wanting to make sure that we give her the support she needs and she feels understood and all of that. And in that conversation, we began talking about prejudice because it's something that I find fascinating. And we all, oh, no, I'm not prejudiced. Oh, no, I'm not prejudiced. But everybody is. Mm-hmm. We all are.
I believe that.
To varying degrees.
Certainly.
And then you got to look at, like, where and how and where. And I was like, well, what is it about? And it is about differentness, otherness. We find scary.
Yes.
That are, so, because it's not about, like, for me, I'm not going to look at somebody's skin color, and that I don't find different. I find that exciting and cool, right? But religious stuff, that's where I find that any fundamentalist religion, I shut down.
But isn't the part of that because you
feel
don't,
judged by them because of...
No, not judged, but because you yourself are... You have, and you've admitted this, you don't have a chosen religion that you follow. You are spiritual.
Right. And normally I'm like, oh, this is your God. Good for you. What can I learn about your God? What do I like about your religion? Let me take that with me and have it enhance my experience in life. But I have noticed that where my prejudices lie, and I'm working on this, and I have opinions about people who are fundamentalist with their religion. And I realize it's because I think that they're judging me because of my lifestyle. So they're the enemy.
Oh, that's it. You know, because I was just going to ask you, if when you and Lou walk down the street, do you feel judged? Do you think people are judging you? Because there's a white woman with a black child.
Yes,
or...
absolutely. And so, you know, like we were in the, I'll never forget, this is because I really started paying attention to this knowing, okay, we have a Haitian daughter. And, you know, we're in there's two women in a relationship and our son's Latin. And, like, I need to be really mindful of these things. And I'll never forget, we were in the doctor's office waiting for Heidi to go in and get a checkup. And I don't know, she was like maybe 8 months pregnant at the time. And there were Hasidic Jews in the waiting room. And, you know, my mom's Jewish. My mom's mom was an Austrian Jew during World War II, right? So, you know, it's my father's Arab. And his parents were Greek Orthodox, and my mom's mom was Jewish. So I got it all going on. When I say all, but like I saw these Hasidic Jews in there, and I immediately bristled because here I am with Heidi, and I'm thinking, you know, well, this is a very fundamental. I don't know anything about, by the way, Hasidic Jews. So this shows you how ignorant this kind of prejudice is. But I just thought, oh, I think this is like the kind of religion. Isn't this the kind of religion where, like, you hate gays?
You're not going to like me.
Right?
You're not
you
gonna
got like it. Me. You got it. Right? So yeah. I was immediately like, I just kind of, I bristled. And so I left my wallet in the chair. And they called Heidi to go to the bathroom. I had to pee in her little cup. And they said, oh, Jill, you can wait in the waiting room. So I get up, and I guess I just left my wallet in the chair. The woman, one of the Hasidic Jewish women goes, excuse me, miss, you forgot your wallet, and gave me the sweetest smile. And I was like, oh, my God. And in that moment, I was like, oh, this is where I have issues.
Yeah.
And this is why I have it. And this is all me. And so
isn't that interesting?
She couldn't have been more lovely. And I knew it was God being like, shame on you.
Yeah.
This is all you. You're projecting hate onto that. And, but so I was like, why do we do this? Like, what is this about? And it's anything that's other than us is scary. So I think, well, she's other than me. She, you know, these people are going to hate me and my lifestyle. So, you know, I don't like them then. I don't like you then. You know, or like, it wasn't even an, I don't like you. I wasn't going so far as to like, I don't like you. I just immediately kind of bristled
and had a very different reaction. And it's our fear of otherness and differentness. And he was explaining to me how it starts as little as being a child. Anything that's other than you or different than you is scary, because you come out as a baby and you feel you and your mother. Like, there's no difference between you and the world and you and your mom. And as you start to realize that your mother is a separate human being that you don't control, anything other is fundamentally scary on a very primitive level, right? And so I thought that was so interesting, because what makes us whole and complete as the human race is our differentness. And we talked a little bit about this on the tour when we were talking about comparing yourselves, right? Yes. And like, okay, you say that person has these qualities and they're better than me, but you have qualities that you're better than them at. And like, we should celebrate these differences. And 90% of the time, I can tell you that I love the differences in the world. I am like, oh my God. It's like, I love the different foods. I love the different cultures. I love the different colors. Because I'm bored. I'm flat out. I'm bored. I want to see new things. I want to learn new things. Like, I could have the best sushi in the world, but I don't want it every night.
Yeah.
Like, and I mean that, like, across the scale. Like, I just love to see different cultures and find things I like about them and incorporate them, but I don't consider that other than me. Because to me, it's part of who I am, because I like to experience these cultures and take them on. And the interesting thing is, like, but then the thing that is very other than me, because I presume it's going to reject me.
Right.
That's where it lies. Yeah. And I feel like what we need to start doing is not be afraid of the things that are different than us. And I get that it's scary, because it threatens our way of life and it makes us feel insecure. So, like, if somebody's gay and you don't like gay people, and, you know, this is not a battle, like, oh, this is not a battle that could be won with fighting. It's more about, like, okay, it might be different than you, but it doesn't affect you or change your life or take anything away from you or invalidate your way of living. Or do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just about, like, see, look, it's different, but it's not so different. Like, it's about love. It's about family still. It's about respect. It's about consenting adults. It's about all these things that you also believe in. There are similarities in trying to bridge that gap. But I don't know. I would just encourage everyone to understand, look, everybody has prejudice. It's just to varying degrees about varying things. And where do you have it and what is it about? And look for a way to celebrate these differences, in that if you're not good at this, but they're good at that, if they're good at this and you're not good at that. And I started looking at the world, like, I was trying to really wrap my head around a oneness amongst people, right? And I was like, what if we were invaded by, you know, an alien species? And I kind of saw all the people of the world coming together with, like, different strengths to contribute to the battle. And I found that it was a really great way to feel at one, so that the differences in us were complementary as the human race, not divisive from individual to individual. Celebrate those differences and look at how they make our world a more interesting and complex place. Look at the different contributions that people of different race, different gender, different religious backgrounds contribute to the world. And try to appreciate that ultimately there is a common ground. There is. And I don't know. I think there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be afraid of. And even if that woman in the doctor's office wasn't lovely, even if she was a bitch from hell who thought I was burning in hell, so what? Wouldn't it have been better if I had just smiled at her? Then maybe I could have bridged that gap a little bit. Maybe I would have made progress in the way she thinks. You know? I don't know. I just, something on my mind. Think about it.
Becoming a personal trainer was the best decision I ever made, obviously. It's my entire life. And now I want to help anybody else who's interested in doing that follow suit. And National Academy of Sports Medicine is a fantastic organization to get you certified. You can earn great money in a career that you love. Certified personal trainers are in high demand right now, and the National Academy of Sports Medicine will help you make your dreams come true. These guys guarantee that you'll land a job within 90 days of getting your certification, or they'll give you your money back, which is really cool. So you can get started with a free 14-day sneak peek of their fast, fun, and easy online program at usatrainer.com. That's usatrainer.com. usatrainer.com. Check it out. In a desperate attempt to reinvent the wheel here, I thought I would give you an advanced fitness tool.
Oh, God, I love tools.
Yeah. Guess what it is?
What?
The wall.
The wall?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You mean like an obstacle course wall?
No.
Rock wall?
No.
Pink Floyd?
You mean like a drywall wall? Like this wall? Wall? A wall?
Yeah, watch this. Move the chair.
Oh, no.
Are we going to get Janice to twerk?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay. Oh, yes.
Am I going to do a handstand?
Well, first, use the wall. Okay, watch. We can take many different moves and make them better using the wall.
Okay.
Okay, so squat against the wall.
A wall sit. Ass on the wall?
Yeah, so sit on the wall like you're doing a squat, right? Lower, lower, lower. Now. Okay, so your thighs are parallel to the ground, right? Your knees are over your ankles.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's called a wall sit, right? Let's try this again. It can get slightly more intense, though, because in your wall sit, you could be doing presses, curls, right? Now, take your right leg and extend it.
Oh, lordy, lordy!
Now get lower.
Oh, I can't.
Lower.
No, it hurts. I might toot.
You're going to make a toot?
I might make a toot just because I'm working so hard. Hang on. Jesus, that's hard.
I know. It's an advanced fitness segment. You got to hold it for 30 seconds. So while we leave Janice there. Here's another one for you.
Oh, Mom, I can't hold it any longer. Gee, oh, God. And I switched it. Oh, I gotta switch the leg. Oh my God, that's hard.
I know, but you're not even parallel.
Feel that beautiful power in the thigh. Oh God,
so weird.
Oh man,
get the
nice.
Thigh parallel to the ground.
I can't.
Yes, you can. There you go. There, breathe. Okay, 20 more seconds.
Oh no! What a bunch of horse bunk. I've been. Oh God, that's hard.
Okay, ready? Here's another one.
Okay
now. Go into plank with your feet against the wall.
Go into plank with my feet against the wall.
Yeah, yeah. So go into plank.
All right.
Okay, make sure the feet are against the wall.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, now get the hands under the shoulders. There you go. Now, that's too wide for a plank. That's a push-up. There you go. Now, walk your feet up on the wall.
Oh, hang on. I got my slippers on.
Yeah. So do plank and put your feet on the wall. Good.
Okay.
Now.
Jake can see my bra.
That's okay. He's seen worse. All right. Now.
I don't know.
Now. Lower your feet.
Yeah.
Okay. Lower them. Bring them to about hip waist level. Okay. A little lower. There. Waist level. Now do mountain climbers with your feet on the wall.
What?
No. Bring the knee into the chest. So one knee comes into the chest. Yeah. Jump switch the feet. Yeah. Mountain climbers with your feet.
Oh, sweet Lord. Yeah. Save me.
And we're not done. Now, come back into plank. Okay, feet on the wall.
God, that's hard.
Yeah. Now watch. Okay, so feet should be at waist level now. Waist level. Okay, good. Waist level. Now walk your hands back so your body is in an L and makes a square with the floor on the wall. So walk your hands back. No. Feet on the wall. Feet on the wall.
I'm trying.
Walk your hands back. No.
There's too much blood in my head. I'm going down.
You want to walk?
See ya.
You want to go into a pike on the wall.
No.
So your feet are on the wall.
okay? And your legs are parallel with the ground, and they bend at the waist, and your torso is perpendicular. So you make a square with the wall and the floor. So you put your feet on the wall. Hip level. That's too high. Now walk your hands back. Feet on the wall. Walk your hands back. Hands back. No feet on the wall. Are you deaf?
You know what? Someone's going to hurt you.
If it's not going to be you, you wuss ball.
I need grip here on the... Oh, too much blood in the head. I need
no, you don't.
Shoes.
No, you don't.
Okay.
Okay, now, lay
why
on your back.
Why don't I sit in my throne and bark at you?
Now, lay on your back and put your butt against the wall. Face the wall. Face the wall. Okay. Lay on your back. Good. Lay on your back.
If you want a break, I'll take your spot.
Feet up. I know. Jesus. All right, now. Okay, now. Put your sole of one foot on the wall, hands on the ground. Okay? Yeah. So one foot straight up, one, and the other one is bent almost 90 degrees, foot flat on the wall. Now, pelvic thrust all the way up. Press. One. And down. Take that straight foot off the wall. No cheating. Use your abs. Hold it to the sky. Push.
I did.
Get it off the wall. There, down and up. And press. There you go. Feel that?
Yeah.
Way harder than a normal pelvic thrust.
Yeah. It makes my giggy feel funny.
Why did you do two reps and stop?
Well, look, I'm doing pelvic thrust to a microphone aimed at my crotch.
Why are you?
What does that look like?
This older gentleman walked by and his eyes bulged like the...
Do you blame him?
Now, okay, are you ready? Two more. Stand up. She might need a spot on this, Jake.
All right.
Stand up, old woman. Okay. Do you think they're able to interpret this through the microphone?
I don't know.
I hope so. Now, okay, stand about 2 feet away from the wall.
Okay.
2 feet. 2 feet. Yeah. Two. No, 2 feet. That's okay. 1 foot. There you go. A little farther out, maybe 2.5 feet.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, reach backwards and find the wall. Good. I think you need to walk your feet out a little bit more. More. Make it 3 feet.
You know,
3 feet.
I've got my nice small
fall back, and now walk backwards in a back bend.
Oh, no. I can't
all
do
the way down
bend.
Into wheel.
When I was a... No, I can't.
That's how you learn to do wheel in yoga. So you stand about 3 feet away from the wall with your back to the wall, fall backwards, and then walk down the wall with your hands.
Well, I can't...
Look for the ground. Look for the ground.
Mama, I don't do wheels. Even in yoga, I don't do wheels.
Why?
Because it makes my... something happens. My legs go numb.
What?
Yeah, my legs will go numb. Just like I was trying to say in the dance show at the opening. My legs went numb and I pretended to do this whole dance routine. And the people went, what was with the one in the middle? What was wrong with her?
And?
Because my legs go numb. I don't know why.
What is wrong
with
you?
It's like a pinch. Something pinches.
Hmm.
But yeah, I see what you're saying. You walk down and you get into a wheel.
Yeah, and then you walk back up the wall.
Okay. No, that's good.
So you stand 3 feet away from the wall with your back to the wall.
Yeah. Reach back.
Reach back. Place the palms on the wall.
And then go down.
Back bend.
Yeah.
And then you crawl back up the wall.
Gotcha. If I didn't go numb, I would gladly do that for
you. Okay, one more. Now, face the wall. Okay. Now, you're facing the wall. From there, go into a headstand. So you make a little tripod.
Take your headphones off for this one.
Okay, wait a minute. This? You want to talk about people not understanding what the hell's going on?
You're doing
How do you go into a headstand? I'm standing facing the wall. What am I? Ex-woman?
Now go down to the ground and go into a headstand. Okay, so get in a headstand. Okay, so make a little tripod.
No.
With.
You want help with your feet? Come on.
Okay. Now, do a knee tuck. So now you're in a headstand with your legs against the wall. Knee tuck. Okay, bring the knees in towards the chest.
Yeah.
Then down. Come down. Use your abs. Bring them back up. Right, knees to chest. Shoot them up. Legs back up. Shoot them up and then press up.
What do you mean, press up?
Do a handstand.
my God.
Do a handstand.
My boobs were showing. We're in a Publix. Oh, God.
Do a handstand.
I can't push up and do a hand. I'm not that strong.
Yeah, you are.
No.
You could do it.
No, I can't.
You can.
If I had some lunch, maybe I'd be able to. But apparently, lunch isn't here. Oh, God, those are hard.
Yeah. So you go into a headstand, right?
And then push
with your
up
back
into
against the wall.
That'd be hard.
Then
to
you do
up.
A knee tuck, bring your knees into your chest and back up, good for core strength. And as you extend the legs, press up into a handstand.
Ooh, that's hard. That's hard. But I mean, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think everything was fine.
Yeah.
That's very hard. So what's that called? Wall of hell?
I guess so. Yeah.
Okay, so let's go over. We did the leg squats.
Just wall sits.
Wall sits. And
single
then,
leg wall sits.
And then extend the leg.
Yeah, one leg at a time.
Then we did the...
If you're weak like Janice.
Yeah, if you're weak like Janice.
You could start with two legs.
Start with two legs.
Work your way up to one leg.
Then we did...
We did pelvic thrusts on the wall. So you go and you put your bum against the wall, feet straight up. Right.
Right. Oh, that's right.
And then you place one leg at a 90-degree angle, sole flat on the wall, opposite leg extended, and pelvic thrust. Raise your bummy and your lower body off the ground.
Yeah.
Or your torso off the ground. Then we did plank on the wall.
Right.
Feet on the wall, hands on the ground. Then we did mountain climbers from that position. Feet on the wall, hands on the ground.
That was hard. Yeah.
Yeah. Then we did
wheel.
The backwards hand walk, whatever that's called.
Yeah.
And then we did that whole headstand situation.
Oh, man.
Now, ready? Here comes all the disclaimers. Don't do this at home. This is professionals only. Consult with your doctor.
Yeah, I would suggest if you did it for the first time to have someone with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, well.
You were awful at all of those.
No, I don't think at all of them.
Yeah.
I didn't execute very well. Mm. But I'm, you know, it's.
All of them.
All right. Well,
work on it.
As I try and find my ovaries, which are somewhere on the floor here, I have lost them. I think during wheel number two. We'll be right back. Oh, there's one. Hang on.
I've stopped.
Not that I'm asking.
It was a New Year's resolution because I started to feel like I was a bank. And
so you have lent money.
Oh, I have. But it's like when you do it, you're not lending money. You're giving money away.
That's interesting you say
and
that.
And when you do, I've stopped. I mean, because it just started to get to a point when I was like, okay, I just lent this friend $7,000.
Oh, God.
And you start to think about like, all right, you know, that money could go towards, and it, you know, you think about, I don't know, what you can do with $7,000, and I stopped. It was a New Year's resolution of mine to stop being the bank for everybody I know.
Well, I've never really been the bank. I don't know why I don't know why. Maybe it's my upbringing that I don't know. It just wasn't something we did a lot of. Was lend money to people.
You can't lend money.
Well,
give.
That's what I
or
learned.
Or don't
Julie.
Give.
And I, in a nutshell, this scenario is a very old friend of mine is in the hospital, not doing well. And so I called a friend and I said, you know what? We should go see her. We should go up and see her. And this is another old friend. This is like, I'm talking like old. Like
Can-can days.
Not quite can-can days.
Oh.
But like definitely, you know, 15 years ago.
Okay.
So I said, we should go see her. You know, let's go see her. So we were talking about that when we were going to get together. And And like, and I hadn't talked to her, so I'm making this very long. I'll try and make it shorter.
No.
I hadn't talked to her literally in probably 10 years.
The one in the hospital?
No, the one in the hospital I talked to, but the one I said we should go see her.
Got it.
I hadn't talked to her in about 10 years. So anyway, we arranged a time to go see her. And then I get a call. No, it wasn't a call. It was an email. I get an email saying, can I borrow some money? And I kind of, and I didn't answer it right away because I was just like, well, wait a minute. This is the first time I've talked to you in 10 years. Like, it was bizarre. She goes, and then she wrote, my daughter and I are going to be evicted if I don't get some money. And I was like, oh, sweet Jesus.
Yeah, I hate that, though. I find that to be extremely manipulative.
And I felt
then it's like, we get evicted if you don't help. It's your fault.
Right. And
yeah, that to me makes me run in the opposite direction.
And it did to me, too, Jillian. And I didn't answer it right away because I was just kind of paralyzed with it, thinking, what am I going to do? So I called a friend and I said, what would you do? And she said, okay. She said, if you lend it, just lend it like you're never going to get it back.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what you were saying at the beginning. You just think of it as a gift. And I thought, okay.
But that, you know, that goes for anything that you give in life, whether
really?
It's love or help in any other capacity. And I remember my shrink was telling me that a long time ago. And he's like, don't lend and don't give with expectation. Or A, you're not really giving, and B, you'll always be disappointed. There's some proverb about how the sun doesn't expect the moon to thank it for shining light upon it or something. That's the whole idea of being, you know, you give because you give. You don't give to get back.
But Jillian, giving and lending are two different. If she said, could you give me $500? I think I would have thought differently. And I guess the reason is because I haven't heard a word from
I would have said no. I'm really careful now about where I do give money. So like with charities, I always vet them intensely before I give any money to charities. When it comes to family, I'm really careful about what I give for. So like I pay for my sister's college education, which is a fortune, and she has chosen literally the most expensive school in America. I was like, okay. And the thing is, it was her dream. She worked her ass off to get into that school. She didn't get into Yale, which was her original dream. She got into Sarah Lawrence, and you know. And then I said, okay, look, if you can get some financial aid, because I'm not her parent. I was like, if you can get some financial aid, I was like, because I wanted her to do the work. I'm like, I'll give you half of the money you save to help you support yourself and whatever through college. But it's like she earned it. She did the work. And I feel like I'm not enabling her to be
lazy ass
or destructive in her life in any way.
Right.
So I'm really careful about how I do it. And I do it with no expectations. So I'm like, all right, I do it for my sister because I love her and I believe that this will further the quality of her life and she's doing good in the world and it will help her be more productive. Like I lend where I know I won't resent it and in ways I don't think are enabling people and to charities that I can give, but I don't lend money ever.
Yeah, I think what you just said made sense. And I don't know where it hit, you know, then obviously we have to turn it around and look at ourselves like, okay, why am I lending the money? Do I want to look like I'm a hero? You know, for me.
Well, I think we all get guilted into it and we feel like, oh, a good person would do this. Oh, they're going to be evicted. And you're all of a sudden, all her poor decisions have become your responsibility.
Yeah.
That's manipulative. No, that's not okay. And it would be one thing, again, if she was an extremely close friend and was like, can you please help me? I've made some bad decisions. Takes responsibility and, you know, and then you see that she is being proactive in solving her own problems. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
But with this, it's extremely manipulative. And for me personally, that would be a scenario where I would feel exploited and taken advantage of. I've already done that many times in my life and I don't like to feel that way. So that's where we get into boundaries. But even, again, it's not even about money. It's with anything. Help you give somebody. Love you give somebody. It's tough with kids. Especially, like, even with kids because with my son, you know, he's just a baby. He's one.
Mm-hmm.
He can't talk to me. He can't entertain me. He can't validate me. You know, the three-year-old and I have conversations and it's, you know, she's funny to me, and I find her, you know, entertaining. And with the baby, it's like, I, you know, it's a purely selfless act. Because he just, there's nothing, it's not for you. You love him to love him. You don't love him so he can make you laugh, or, you know what I mean? Like, it's, and my shrink is like, he's not a narcissistic extension of you. Like, you're not, you know what I mean? Like, you're not going to see, like, he's not there to dance a jig for you or make you think he's cute or funny or to make, validate you as a parent. Or, like, if you love this kid, you just love him. You just love him to love him. You just love him, and it is one of the most selfless things you can do is loving a baby. Mm-hmm. You know, because with Lou, it's like, I find it funny, and she says, you know, she says all this funny stuff, and she does all this funny stuff.
And she challenges you.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a totally different, but that, even with friends, it's like, if you're giving to them, if you're kind to, if you give a homeless person a dollar, you give them a dollar, and you don't wonder where they're spending it.
Right. And I've seen, isn't that, oh God, that's interesting you see that, because you see some people just give it. Like, if it is, or they'll say, don't be spending that on booze now. It's like, none of your business.
I am discriminating, though. I always look to see if that homeless person has cigarettes. And if they do, I'm like, nope. No. Yeah. That's always where I, like, I look them up and down. I check to see, do I smell smoke on them? Do I see cigarettes anywhere? And if they do, I'm like, if you can afford a $7 pack of cigarettes, you're doing fine. I'm not going to help you get lung cancer. No. Like, that's always where I kind of draw the line.
No, it's a very funny call.
So how did it play out?
It hasn't. And that's just, I think that's what.
Oh, lent the money and then.
I lent the money and it's been 6 months and not a word. So, and I think it would have been cool to say, hey, if maybe she'd written and said, hey, Janice, you know, I know I haven't, you know, been able to pay you back yet, but, you know, maybe next month might be better, or here's $100. I mean, I know it's not a huge amount of money, but $500 is $500.
$500 is a lot of money, especially to a lot of people.
Yeah. And not a word. And I think that's where I kind of went, wow, I just got shystered.
But you knew in your heart she wasn't going to pay you back.
I think I did.
And I wonder what it was in it for you was like hope. Hope that she would, you know, she would say, like, here's $100, or she would make effort.
And then I go, forget the rest. Honestly, if she said, I know, here's $100, I'd go, don't worry about the rest of it.
It's hope. But you're putting your hope in the wrong places. There's a difference between reality and hopefulness. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, there's reality in life, and then there's, like, you can be hopeful where it's realistic to feel hopeful. Like a person, if this is a person that's showing you signs of, I'm turning myself around, I got a job, she's reached out to you before, well, then, yes, invest your hope. But this is not somebody who is self-evolved or, do you know what I mean?
I do. No, that makes complete sense to me.
You need to invest hope in somebody, like, that's a little farther along on that level, if that makes any sense.
It does.
And it's just, again, it's like, it's okay to be idealistic, but appreciate you'll get disappointed.
Yeah.
And you know, that's just, if you give it, you give it from the bottom of your heart, not because you're hoping she'll become a better person or she'll restore your faith in humanity.
Jesus. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's the thing about giving. And if you give with expectation, you will always be disappointed. My mom said to me once when I was debating whether or not to speak to my father again, this was years ago, mind you, and she said, are you going into this with any expectation? And of course, we all have expectations.
Sure.
And I thought maybe he would take responsibility on some level. And I was like, no, but I was. And then I realized the answer was yes. And she's like, if you're going to speak to your father and you have any expectations, don't do it. Because you'll just be disappointed.
Wow.
If you can say what you need to say or do what you need to do without getting an elicited, a desired response from him, then by all means. But if you have expectations and that's the reason you're engaging in this dialogue or behaving in a certain way, that's not why. You should do it, if that makes sense.
Yep. Nope.
Boundaries.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, point. Thank you. That point well taken. That I, you know, that gives me much food for thought.
Just the next time you give without expectation, or don't give at all.
Yeah. Okay.
Might do a lot of not giving for a while.
That's okay too.
That's okay too.
All right. We'll be right back.
I'm so excited to do this next Audible spot. Do you know why?
No. Well, I'm not sure why, but I know you're going to tell me.
Yeah. I'm reading a new book.
Very good.
Yeah. I was stuck on the other book for a while, so I was a bit stumped when I had to say, because I've already said the other book that I was reading a little while ago, and I didn't want to look dumb. But now I'm onto a new book, and it's called Relentless, From Good to Great to Unstoppable by Tim Grover.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get all your audio entertainment needs on audible.com. They have over 100,000 titles, every genre you could possibly imagine. Anything that you might be looking for is on audible.com. And our listeners get a free audiobook and a 30-day trial by signing up now at www.audiblepodcast.com/exercise. That's www.audiblepodcast.com/exercise. www.audiblepodcast.com/exercise.
Okay, we are back, and Crystal would like a word with you.
Awesome. Crystal, what's going on?
Hey, Jillian, how are you doing?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so excited to talk to you. Oh, my gosh. I don't even know where to start.
At the beginning.
At the beginning.
On the day I was born, the doctor smacked me on the bottom. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go on.
Okay. So, basically, I'm a highly functional alcoholic. I use the term alcoholic broadly, but, I mean, I can come home and put them away just like any man could. It's a little sad.
How many?
So, I mean, I use around 6, 7, and then on the weekends, God knows how many.
God knows how many.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot. And I've, you know, I used to just outrun my drinking habit. You know, I have 3 beers. Okay, well, I run 3 more miles tomorrow and burn it off. Well, that's not working so much anymore. I gained weight from quitting smoking. And as a result of quitting smoking, my drinking kind of went up. So now I'm trying to stop, and it's such a daunting task. I don't even know where to start. Okay. So I'm kind of hoping you have something.
Well, I mean, look, I'm not an expert in the area, but it seems the obvious thing to do would be to get into. I'm gonna say I think you should go to a meeting.
Yeah,
you think like AA or I mean AA thinks that alcoholism is a disease, and I'm not sure that I agree with that. So I don't know, maybe counseling, or I'm not really sure. But obviously, this is a destructive, you know, habit. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to quit on Monday. I'll get really hyped up about it. And then by Saturday, I'm falling apart.
Okay,
I can tell you this.
This is not the kind of thing that you just like, I'm going to quit on Monday. You know what I mean? This is a very deep, I don't want to in any way say something that ignorant or trivialize this because I'm not educated on it. But what I can tell you with compulsive overeating is that this is not like I'm going to quit on Monday. This is something that involves a tremendous amount of self-exploration, requires a ton of support, and needs to be handled and taken very seriously. So I'm going to actually let Janice address some of the things you just said because she knows a little more about this than I do.
I don't know what your job is. You don't need to say your job, but would like a rehab, would like a detox, 3-4 weeks, 28 days, is that a possibility for you? Because sometimes it just takes to get the head, like, unfogged.
I mean, I wonder if I talk to them, if they would entertain it, because I don't know. I don't know if, they would be okay with something like that or not. And but that's like something that I have to bring out totally into the open. And, you know, it's hard enough. Hey, I'm going to call Joey Michaels and tell her I have a problem.
But honey, the reason we took, because this is so out of my area, and the reason I took it is because obviously this was a cry for help and you need someone to tell you that you have to go, and I'm happy to be that person. You have to go. You know, you've already come to this place where you clearly appreciate it as being extremely destructive in your life. And for you to send the email is you saying, like, you know what I'm going to do. You know I'm going to tell you. This is not a broad use of the term. You clearly are struggling with this, and you do need to seek out help if you want to improve the quality and the quantity of your life. You know, whenever we're abusing something, whether it's food or a sex addiction, apparently, or drugs or alcohol, there's always a reason. And
right.
I appreciate
coping mechanism.
Yes, of course, and you know it runs deep. I will say, and again, this is forgive me, Janice, correct me if I'm wrong, but I have heard that alcoholism can be genetic. There can be a propensity for it, or it can run in families, the way the body processes alcohol, or something about the way it affects somebody.
Yeah, I don't know the physicality of it, but I know that definitely a lot of people who have come from a family who has a mother or father.
Yeah.
It's very common.
Yeah.
I dated an alcoholic, and her father was an alcoholic, and it's like, you know, the bottom line,
yeah,
sweetheart,
is... It is all over my family. I mean, my mother, my father, my husband drinks. He's not an alcoholic, but, you know, he drinks. His family drinks, like, everybody around me. Just about.
Yeah. All the more reason why I would highly recommend you getting into a supportive environment with people who are like-minded and establishing, you know, a new group where you feel safe and you can feel... social, accepted, validated with people who aren't drinking. I also might consider reaching out to your family members if you feel safe, in particular your husband, and saying, I have a problem with this. I'm struggling with this, and I need your help. Because with food, that's something that I feel so supremely confident giving advice about that, even though there are so many similarities. But with food, I have them express to their family, their friends, like, I am afraid for my life. I have health issues. I am, you know, want to be around for my kids. This is important to me. And then how you need to be supported. I need this from you. I need that from you. Can you help me in the following ways? Don't order pizza when I get home from work. You know, maybe it's like, don't have a bottle of wine waiting for me when I get home. Like, I do think you need to come out and have very honest conversations with your family and your friends. That you're, I would say, sweetie, I'm an alcoholic. And the bad thing about alcohol as opposed to food is you can hide it. You said yourself you're a functioning alcoholic, which means you're hiding it. But with weight, you can't hide it. It's good and it's bad. Everybody judges you because they can see your issues because they're on the outside. But
right.
You can't deny that you have a problem either because it's going to show up. You know, obviously,
right.
Physically, you know, you can see it, or cholesterol, blood pressure, et cetera. I would liberate yourself, and I would say I have a problem, and I'm going to need your support. I'm going to need your help. I would try AA and counseling at the same time. Absolutely. But you have to start getting help, sweetie. And if that is why you wrote this email in, then I'm telling you right now, like, you can't run through the drinking. You can't, you know what I mean? It's only going to get worse. We did a segment about, what if I do nothing, right? People who are afraid to make changes in their lives or to move forward. Think about it. What if you do nothing? Where does this end up in 10 years? 5?
Exactly. Like, I mean, because my goal, I'm going to school full time for accounting. I want to be a successful businesswoman. I want to run my own business. I want to, you know, I want to work out. I want to, you know, keep up. I want to run another marathon. I've run a marathon. I've run tons of half marathons. And now, you know, I can still run, and I still run regularly, but, you know, I'm just negating every bit of positive effect of running by coming home and having a beer right afterwards. Like, not right afterwards, but, it may as well be.
But even beyond that, you know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, if you're drinking, you're masking things that need to be resolved. And that festers in the most negative ways.
Absolutely.
So please, please, talk to your family, talk to your friends. And then how can she find out about a meeting? I don't actually...
You can go online.
Right?
Just go online. Everything's there. There'll be whatever city you're in. Just type in aa.org, you know, and it'll, you know, and there's always a line. There's always Alcoholics Anonymous phone line, and they will, you know, tell you where the closest meetings are. And it's very easy to get to. I mean, I should say that. It's not easy to get to a meeting.
Very accessible.
It's accessible, right?
Right.
Walking through the doors definitely takes a lot of courage. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
You can do
Absolutely.
You can do it. Go. I won't do it this week.
Thank you. I will.
All right, buddy.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right, Crystal.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I wanted to take that one just because she needed us to tell her that. She's screaming for help in that email.
Yeah.
And it's like she's just saying, asking one person, like, do you hear me crying for help? Can you hear me screaming? I remember as a kid feeling like I wrote this poem when my... This is so dark. I'm such a weirdo. I wrote this poem when my parents were getting divorced, and it was like... One of the lines was like... This poem was called Ever So Slowly She's Dying. And the last line of this poem was, can't you hear her scream? And it was me, obviously, right? I was in like 6th or 7th grade. Very melodramatic, emo, little fat kid. But the whole point is, even at that age, I'm like, can you hear this cry for help? You know, can you? And so I really try to listen when people cry out for help, because the fact that they do cry out for help is a really big deal.
Yeah.
And it's like, if they're teetering on that brink right there of like, does anybody care? Should I? Shouldn't I? If anybody cares, maybe I should care too. You know, it's almost like they don't value themselves enough to care on their own. It's like, does anybody care? Anybody? So, you know, I don't know. I just wanted to say, yeah, we care. Go. And hopefully she will.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
Not that I think it's easy, because I don't.
But I think this is a decision she's been thinking about a lot longer than just this writing in. You know
I agree,
what I mean?
Yeah.
So...
That's why I was hoping it was just like the push over the edge.
Yeah.
Teetering on the brink of it, and then maybe just like just a little finger tap to just push her in. Hopefully. Fingers are crossed.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.